My darling, I hope that you are well and staying strong for me in these trying times when you and your friends are so far from home. Please know that my heart trembles with every letter you send, not knowing whether it may be the last. I am starved of news. From what little is allowed to reach my ears, Father says the war is going well. I know Mother frets ever so much for my brother John. Please write at your earliest convenience, should you hear any news of him where you are. The weather is warmer here now, as it moves into spring. Uncle Robert visited us last week, and it is his daughter Annabelle of which I wish to tell you. As you know, his wife died this past winter, and Uncle Robert frets ever so much that Cousin Annabelle will be lost to him too. So he brings her to our warmer environment that she might rest, and perhaps discover a love for the outdoors to keep her in vigorous health. I feel, however, that she will not be lost to him in the way he fears. She is quite a wayward young woman, and although I find it something of a thrill to be near her, as her demeanor is so different to my own, some of her behavior should not endear her to polite society, or as I am about to relate. May I suggest, if you can, that you make time for reading my words alone, as I should blush ever so much if what I have to tell you should reach the ears of your brothers in arms. You must be so lonely and yearning for a womanly touch. If you can, and privacy allows, you should not feel ashamed to take out your manhood and stroke it for me while I recall these events. You can imagine I was there beside you to do it for you, whispering this tale in your ear. I can almost picture it. I hope it doesn't shock you that I would suggest such a thing. I find that my passions have quite overcome me since my recent experiences. As a result of these explorations, of which no man has been a part of, I assure you, you might be surprised at the touch of my gentle fingers on your cock would be both firm and loving across the whole length of you. However, you will find me now considerably more eager to taste the sins of your flesh than perhaps I was when we last made love together. For now, your own hands will have to suffice. I long for your touch, like I imagine you now. Long for my presence in that bed of yours at the barracks. But until that day, we are reunited. Touch yourself and imagine it to be me caressing the shaft of your cock all the way from tip to base. For the recent experiences I alluded to, I have Cousin Annabelle to thank, and I will now return to my tale, safe in the knowledge that while stimulating yourself, you will gain some small measure of erotic pleasure from the reading of it. A pleasure I have allowed myself in both the incidents themselves and the intimate retelling of them here for you now. I hope that you are firm and erect as a good soldier should be. Annabelle, What a woman she is. On only her second morning staying with us as I was taken in the air, I caught her swimming in the creek with not a stitch of clothing on her person. It was all I could do not to scream, such was the fright I got. As I rounded the bend where the old willow hangs into the waters, I found her splashing about quite unexpectedly. Her pale skin was so striking in the morning light against the dark green waters that I could not stop myself from looking at her nakedness, overcome by surprise as I was. Her hair is fiery red, and it spilled around her on the surface of the water as she swam on her back, like hot streaks of flame radiating from her pale, naked skin. I swear, though with my own name not Scarlet, I have not seen anyone more worthy of it, and that the name could indeed be implied to all of her, not just the hair which sits atop her head. Her nipples, too, were pink and flush with the cool, brisk waters of the creek, pointing towards the sky and engorged far beyond the size of my own have ever been, even at your touch. I have examined and indeed caressed my own womanly body in the mirror on occasion, but to see one so close to my own in age, that was similar in some ways and so very different in others, it was like a new experience and one that I found myself uncommonly excited by. It was a sensation I had not felt before. When she called out from the water, "Hello, Scarlet," in a hope that my presence might go unnoticed, disappeared. But I remained rooted to the spot, even as she rolled in the water like some pale mermaid and swam for the riverbank. "Why, Annabelle, I see you have arrived. It's been so long since I've seen you," I managed. "And do you like what you see now?" she asked me, her pale but able chest rising out of the water as she slowly stalked towards dry land, her wet hair sending rivers of water droplets cascading over her back, her smooth thighs and down between her legs, which I dared not look, but could scarcely tear my eyes away from. I could not reply, for the truth awoken in me at that point was that it's my heart's love for you. Another part of my body did greatly like what I had seen, and hungered for more. Rooted to the spot like the willow itself, but considerably more flustered, I held my breath as the beautiful sight of my cousin's naked form drew closer and closer to me. She stood within an arm's length and gazed into my eyes. "Aren't you going to say hello properly?" she asked, a twinkle in her eye. She took half a step closer, then lunged as she swiftly moved her lips to mine, the cool taste of water droplets mingling with that of her mouth. It happened so quickly. I stood, shocked, but found to my own surprise that my mouth parted and allowed her tongue to tease at the entrance, flicking with mine in a delightful dance that set a tingling, confused sensation within my loins. I feared that I might swoon were she to kiss me any longer, so I feverishly broke the contact of our lips. I simply turned and ran home, my heart thumping in my chest like a steam engine on the railroad. For the sleepless night that followed our encounter by the creek, Cousin Annabelle is almost entirely to blame as well. I will relate to you now the tale of her next visit, which was to my bedchamber. You may find when reading the following passages of my letter that any increased tempo to your self-pleasure increases the effect, so please pick up the pace of your stroking if your arousal allows. I said it was a sleepless night, but I had been asleep and dreaming peacefully until the merest whisper of a bare foot on the floorboards woke me at some time pre-dawn. At first, startled, I feared it was a ghost or some speck of my imagination that disturbed me from my sleep. As my eyes grew accustomed to the pale light of the new day that was barely beginning to drip in through the curtains, I soon saw it was something altogether more lovely before me in my chamber. Annabelle had decided to surprise me in the night. Her purpose for the visit was not to gossip about the boys of the town, nor to mount a midnight raid on the pantry as we had done as girls. She had designs on me that were more sensual in nature, which quickly became clear as she slipped her nightdress from her slender shoulders and once again revealed the lithe and supple naked body that had so enraptured me when I saw her at the creek. With a single finger placed on her lips to command silence on my part, she proceeded to draw back the covers from my prostrate form. As my body, protected only by flimsy nightdress, was exposed to the cool night air, I found my hands gripping the bed sheets in somewhat fearful, yet excited anticipation of what she might intend. She was waiting for some signal from me. All I could do was nod, dumbstruck at the rapidly growing heat between my legs at the sight of her, and my wish to have her closer to me than the end of the bed. It was enough. I did not have to wait in my state of terrorized stimulus for long, as she mounted the bed from the far end and seductively crawled on all fours, naked, across it to me. As she approached closer and closer, straddling my body, her red hair slid from behind her milk-white shoulders, trail across my legs and my belly, which were at that point hidden by my nightdress. It was barely a soft tickling sensation, but raised such delicious anticipation in me that all fear seemed to evaporate. Almost as if by some instinct, my knees drew apart and the fabric of my robe fell away from them to expose my legs to her, bare to at least the thigh. Her face was so very close to mine by then that I could feel her warm breath on my own lips, now parted so slightly, in anticipation of repeating the day's earliest kiss. Her mouth met mine and we kissed once again, but this time I found myself hungry for it, rather than withdrawing, startled as I had been the first time. Her tongue became a part of her kiss in the French manner, and mine I found naturally eager to join in, our mouths, lips, and tongues pressing together, then parting with an increased fervor as lust took hold of both of us. Annabelle's slim hands began to explore the folds of my nightdress and the curves of my body beneath as her tongue intertwined with my own. Still, I almost froze to the spot when her fingers brushed my thigh, first on the outside, then the inside. No woman had ever touched me there, let alone my cousin. As you picture her fingers probing under my night clothing and plunging between my legs, searching for my eager wetness, do not be afraid to imagine my hand caressing the shaft of your erect cock with an equal measure of the tenderness and wanton lust as she showed to my most intimate private parts. Her touch was measured and practiced. She moved a hand on me in a rhythm that I found totally agreeable, sending waves of tingling sensation all throughout my body. It was all I could do to suppress any noise that the servants might hear. As there exists no way for you to hear my voice as it was in that instant, it must suffice to imagine the moans and gasps of my lust growing from whimpers. I assure you they remain stifled, as you remember them, for my own previous passionate indiscretions, but no less forceful in their origin. Although centered on my loins, the pleasurable sensations were now also flushing to the peaks of the nipples sitting pert upon my breast, which before long ached to be set free from my bodice and tied with. Annabelle was clearly aware of such problems that could trouble a woman in my situation, as she made short work of undoing sufficient of my sleeping garments to impress her hot, pink mouth and lips upon my breast, aching, quivering nipples. It was not long before those fingers of hers had nimbly reduced me to a state of nakedness as complete as her own, and we lay entwined for a long while, kissing and caressing. Each touch of a breast or plunging exploration of a finger arousing further passion in the other. The most pleasurable feeling that Annabelle gave me was her tongue upon my cunt, licking and lapping and even sucking, until I was spread wide open and begging for whatever further sensation she could provide me. I know that is not the most ladylike term, but then the acts we performed upon each other's bodies would be permitted in no polite house within the county. So you will have to forgive me. Her flame red hair splayed across my skin and my slim belly, which as I watched her ministrations to the wet heart of me, rose and fell with my own feverish breath as the pleasure mounted and became almost too much to withstand. Occasionally, my cousin would look up from her labors and gaze into my eyes with such mischief as her tongue feasted on me that it only served to heighten my own lusty feelings. With her mouth, lips, and tongue on me and her fingers inside of me, two of them thrusting inside me like your proud member has before now, tickles and spikes of pleasure were flickering throughout my body. I almost felt I shouldn't resist them at first, but they pulsed so pleasantly in my aching, feverish cunny. Please do continue to stroke your by now engorged prick faster as you read this, in order that you gain some sample of the pleasure I was experiencing. Those squeezing, tickling sensations grew like a wave within my loins, my thighs, my stomach, and my toes, until I could bear almost no more of the overpowering feelings that Annabelle was giving me. Yet at the same time, I also wanted nothing more than for her to touch and lick, penetrate, kiss me everywhere that she could, and to keep that feeling flowing through me, with my sex and her tongue tasting of it as the molten core of our fire. Then suddenly everything within me was shaking, and I knew that I must bear it. And indeed, I wanted to bear that new feeling over and over, and I did not want it to end. But the tension rose, and my hips arched into her mouth, and my back rose from the bed like one afflicted, before crashing back to safety, and then came more, trembling, shivering aftershocks as she slowed her pace and withdrew her fingers from me, soaked in the juices of my arousal. Before at last my body relaxed from a tension I did not even know I had borne. Should you be so aroused at this talk of climax and the lovemaking between Annabelle and I that you can bear it no more, please do allow yourself that ever-building pleasure to be released from your loins and explode for me. And explode for Annabelle, as only your hard cock, which I treasure so much, can. If it pleases you, I will send more details in my next letter. On the other hand, should you become enraged at your love's intimate affair with another, please be assured that my gentle heart still longs only for you. Should it comfort you any further, be also assured that, having seen your portrait on her stay, Cousin Annabelle has expressed an extreme eagerness to visit again, should you be granted furlough from your service to the country, so that we three may be acquainted together in such a similar manner to which I have described in these pages. Please know that both of us pray for your safe return from the war. I cannot wait for all this to be over, so that you are once again in my loving arms and we may consummate our passion once more and forever. Yours ever, Scarlett.